This is lecture number 3 in the study of the book of Revelation. In our last lecture, we were dealing with the seven seal judgments. These are judgments that God brings upon the earth because people had accepted the Antichrist as their God. And we've covered 5 of the seals. And now we begin in Revelation chapter 6 and verse 12. We start dealing with the sixth seal judgment. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Here we find, student, heavenly and earthly disturbances. First, it begins with a great earthquake. This earthquake occurs at the beginning of the sixth seal. Not only is there a great earthquake, but the sun becomes black as sackcloth of hair. So we see a blackened sun. And the moon became as blood. So we see a reddish moon. Didn't say that the moon became blood, but it became as blood. So try to picture the scene here. A great earthquake, a blackened sun, and a reddish moon. And then something else happens. There is a great meteor fallout. Meteors bombarding the earth. Look at verse 13. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. So try to picture the scene there. Great earthquake, blackened sun, reddish moon, and meteors falling from heaven as if they were connected to a fig tree that was shaken by a mighty wind. And verse 14, and the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and every island were moved out of their places. Here we see that the heavens evidently were like clouds suddenly rolled away, rolled back. And the Bible says every mountain and every island were moved out of their places. In verses 15 through 17, we see the world's response to this great earthquake. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens, and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Notice, his wrath is come. So, John, through this vision, sees the mighty wrath of God taking place during the first 3.5 years of the tribulation period. In chapter 7, we have what we call an interlude, what some theologians call as the timeout, a timeout before the seventh seal judgment begins. In fact, you don't see the seventh seal judgment until chapter 8. But in chapter 7, we are taught that there are two groups saved during the tribulation period. In chapter 7, verses 1 through 8, we have Israelites saved. In chapter 7, verses 9 through 17, people are saved from all nations. So it's not just Jews. We have Gentiles and others saved during this time. Let's investigate it. Verse 1. After these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. Now, somebody said, well, how in the world can angels be standing on the four corners of the earth? Well, where are the four corners? Well, I think it's simple. You have north, south, east, and west. Four corners. And holding the four winds of the earth. Now, let me give you an opinion here, because I really don't know for sure. But the four winds could be referring to the winds of judgment. Since in Psalms 148 and verse 8, we are taught that God is in control of the wind. Bible says fire and hail, snow and vapors, stormy wind, fulfilling his word. Then in verse 1, it could literally mean that God ceases the winds through power that he gives angels. And then in verse 2, the Bible says, and I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. Now let me stop there for just a moment. All believers in Christ are sealed according to the Bible, Ephesians 1:30 and Ephesians 4:30. In Ephesians 4:30, the Bible tells us, and grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. So every Christian is sealed, but you can't see it. This seal in the book of Revelation is a visible seal. All right, then the four angels are given authority to sound the trumpet judgments that are fixing to take place. All right, verse 3, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them which were sealed. Now pay attention to this, student. And there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. Here, 144,000 Jews will be saved for a particular service to the Lord during the tribulation period. I want you to also notice that they were Jews. Now, we have a little religious group going around saying that they are members of the 144,000. Well, one thing that would disqualify them, they would have to be Jews. And there again, if they're not Jews, they can't be a member of the 144,000. Also, in Revelation chapter 14, it talks about these 144,000 again. And in verse 4, the Bible says, these are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. The second thing about this 144,000, they never had sex. They were virgins. They were never married. And of course, if they were not defiled with women, it means then that they were only men. So there's a lot of things here that would certainly prove that the Jehovah's Witness cult is not the 144,000. All right, back to Revelation chapter 7. In verses 5 through 8, we have the tribes that God has chosen these 144,000 from. Verse 5, of the tribe of Judah were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Reuben were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Gad were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Asher were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Nephilim were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Manasseh were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Simeon were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Levi were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Issachar were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Zebulun were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Joseph were sealed 12,000. Of the tribe of Benjamin were sealed 12,000. In verse 9, we read about the greatest revival in history out of all nations. Many are saved between the sixth and seventh seal. Let's read it. After this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, and kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. So it's clear here, not just Jews were saved, but it says all nations were saved, all tongues were saved, different languages. So that involves Gentiles. And here in verse 9, we are taught that all of these were washed from their sins. They had turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a group that John saw standing in heaven before God, and this is the result of the preaching of the 144,000. In other words, this event hadn't taken place yet, but John, through the will of God, was able to see in the future what the results of the preaching of the 144,000 would result in. All right, verse 10, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders, and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshiped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. In verse 13, one of the elders asked John a question. He's going to ask him, where are these saved men from? Where did they come from? Why are they dressed in white robes? Now notice what the Bible says. Verse 13, and one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? Sometimes a good teacher will introduce his subject by a question. And that's the case here. And notice how John answers the question. And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. Now what John is saying, I don't know, but you do. And notice what this elder says. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Needless to say, most of these are Jews, but there were others from different nations saved. But these are people that will endure to the end. They believe the message of the 144,000. Now they endured unto the end. They did not take the mark of the beast, which we'll look into that. They did not bow down and worship the Antichrist. They did not accept him as God. They endured to the end. It cost them their life. Matthew 24 and verse 13 is a scripture that's parallel to that. And he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. In other words, if he does not take the mark, if he does not worship the Antichrist, he shall be saved. In verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then the end come. So the 144,000 are going to be preaching the gospel of the kingdom. In other words, repent of your sin. Jesus Christ is going to come back and set up his millennial kingdom. Believe that. Trust that. Do not take the mark of the beast. Some will take the mark. Some will not. All right, verses 15 through 17. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. In other words, these that were saved, they're now eternally safe with God. That ought to be an encouragement to every person listening to my voice that's saved. When you die, you go to heaven. And the Bible is so clear in that in many places. These Israelites and these that were saved out of other nations are safe with God. Verse 16 and 17, they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sunlight on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Notice the promise blessings that God gives for one that endures to the end during the tribulation period. He says, no more tears forever. He'll feed them and he'll lead them unto living fountains of waters. Now in chapter 8, we see the beginning of the seventh seal judgment. And on this seventh judgment, God will give it in seven judgments, called the seven trumpet judgments. Let me try to explain that again. There are seven seal judgments. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. On the seventh judgment, they are broken down into what we call seven trumpet judgments. So try not to get confused with that. The seven trumpet judgments are part of that last seventh seal judgment. In other words, given in seven parts, if you please. All right, verse 1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Here we have a 30-minute silence in heaven. A lot of folks speculate as to why. It could be to allow men to repent. That would make sense. Then it could also be because of the coming plagues. Those in heaven that could see this vision, could see this taking place, would stand in awe because of what was going to take place. Verse 2, and I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. So here God is going to use seven angels, one at a time, seven different trumpet judgments as the seal is broken. The seal is broken of that seventh seal judgment. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. Now a golden censer is a small incense bowl. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. You see, student, the plagues will be the answer to many a prayers of the saints. They will vindicate the testimony of the saints as to God's holiness and eventual judgment. Verse 4, and the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. Here we have a heavenly fire and it's cast upon the earth. And when this was done by the angel, there was thunder, lightning, and a great earthquake. Now the beginning of that first trumpet judgment. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. The first angel sounded, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of trees was burnt up, and all green grass was burnt up. In this judgment, one third of the earth is smitten. All grass was destroyed, and one third of the trees were destroyed. The result, loss of oxygen, causing the grass, no doubt, to also burn up and to stay in that condition. The second judgment in verse 8, and the second angel sounded, and as it were a great mountain, burning with fire, was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. Looking at that verse, one third of seawater is contaminated. God will do it by a great burning mast, cast into the sea like a burning mountain. And the sea, part of the sea, became blood. So part of the ocean, probably one third of it, became a deep red because of all the fish and all the creatures of the sea that were killed. Verse 9, and the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. Not only was a third of the creatures of the sea killed, but some ships were destroyed. Now this could be because of a possible tidal wave, because of the mass like a mountain hitting the water when God threw that mass or burning mountain into the ocean. All right, verse 10, the third trumpet judgment. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. Here, student, one third of the fresh water was poison. How will God do it? It could be by a falling, burning meteor. Possibly that, because there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. All right, in verse 11, and the name of the star is called Wormwood. Now, wormwood is in the Greek absinthos, which means a bitter substance, and it causes the rivers and reservoirs to become bitter and undrinkable. Let me read that again. And the name of the star is called Wormwood, and the third part of the waters became wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. They couldn't drink. There was no fresh water. One third of the fresh water was affected. All right, now we see the fourth trumpet judgment. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened. And the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. Let me break down those two verses for you. The fourth trumpet. Here we have limited light from the sun, moon, and stars. Why? Because one third of them are smitten. An Old Testament prophecy here was partially fulfilled that we find in Amos chapter 8 and verse 9. Let me read that to you. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord God, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the clear day. This also happened during the ninth plague in Exodus chapter 10, verses 21 through verse 23, and also at the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let me read to you Exodus chapter 10, verses 21 through verse 23. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another. Boy, that was a very black night. You couldn't even see one another. Neither rose any from his place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. Great miracle here during Moses' time. Then there was another time that God blackened the sky and day was turned into night. That was the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If you'll look with me in Matthew 27 and verse 45. Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. So again, God uses darkness sometimes when it comes to judgment or expressing or emphasizing a certain thing that he wants emphasized. And then the third time it'll happen here in Revelation chapter 8 and verse 12. A part of the moon, part of the stars, and part of the sun was darkened, smitten, one-third smitten, and darkness was caused upon the face of the earth. All right, verse 13, and I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe. Now an angel is used, and a warning is issued about the three other judgments because of their severity. Woe, woe, woe. When you see a woe, that means curse of God. Judgment is coming. It's a horrible judgment. And what these angels were saying, if you think that the first four were bad, watch out for the next three. They're even more severe. Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. Chapter 9 begins the second 3.5 years. A terrible judgment is fixing to take place. It's brewing up. God's going to use locust-like creatures to torment men for 5 months. Let's read it. Verse 1, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Now, this star is probably a symbol of Satan, or possibly some sort of demon. He says a star fell from heaven, and notice, to him. So this is not a meteor here. It says, and to him, that person that the star represents was given the key of the bottomless pit, more than likely Satan. And by the way, student, God had to allow this. This was in God's permissive will to allow Satan to receive the key of the bottomless pit. And the bottomless pit is to be opened. Look at verse 2. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Like smoke, in other words, collected in quantity, and it now gushes out of the pit. And there's so much smoke that it causes darkness once again. And then locusts came out of the pit. Look at verse 3. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. Satan will use locusts, and the locusts have the mobility of a grasshopper and horrible sting as a scorpion. Now what Satan will be permitted to do? Look at verse 4. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their forehead. Here, locusts usually eat green things, but they could only sting and they could only bite humans like a mosquito would do. You know sometimes how a mosquito hurts? He drills in your arm or in your face, the little drill-like that he has in his mouth. Here, these demon creatures, locusts, use stings that no doubt are large and hurt and torture men. And by the way, these locusts couldn't hurt those who had repented during the tribulation period. The Bible says to only hurt those that did not have the seal of God in their foreheads. Remember what I told you, that every person that's saved in our generation has been sealed unto the day of redemption. But you cannot see the seal. During the tribulation period, when people are saved, God's going to put a seal of some kind in their forehead. Whether it's his name, whether it's 777 or what, we don't know. But it's something that is visible. And the Bible says in verse 5, and to them it was given that, to these locusts, that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. Notice that the locusts did not have the authority to kill these lost people, but to torment them, how long? For 5 months. And notice what men will do in those days. Verse 6, and in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Can you imagine this? Somebody taking a .38 caliber, sticking it to their head, blowing their brains out, trying to die, but still living. Still having all of their senses. Seeking death, the Bible says. They'll not be able to find it. Verse 6, they shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. Death will run from them, literally. In verse 7, and the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses, prepared unto battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men, and they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. Notice, their bodies were like unto horses. They weren't horses, but they were like unto horses, and they had crowns on their head. And these locusts had faces like a man. And they had long hair like a woman. And they had teeth like a lion. If I were you and I wasn't saved, I'd get saved by just looking at these creatures right here. I ought to make anybody want to get saved. Verse 9, and they had breastplates, as it were breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots, of many horses running to battle. Now, not only do they have faces like men, body like a horse, hair like women, teeth like a lion, but they also had wings. And they sounded like chariots, of many horses running to battle. Not only that, but they had tails. Look at verse 10. And they had tails like unto scorpions. And there were stings in their tails. And their power was to hurt men 5 months. How did they do it? With the stinger that is in their tails. All right, verse 11. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. Now, these locusts, no doubt, are probably demons, probably symbolic of demons. Now, in verse 11, these locusts, these demons, have a king over them. The Hebrew tongue calls him Abaddon, which means destroyer. But in the Greek, he's called Apollyon, which also means destroyer. The Bible tells us that Satan is seeking whom he may devour. And one that devours wants to tear up somebody. And that is the job of Satan, is to tear people up. Verse 12, one woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the altar, which is before God. Remember now, an altar was a place of sacrifice for sin. This altar is in heaven. Saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loose, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year, for to slay the third part of men. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was one that could swim real deep, I wouldn't want to swim to the depths of the Euphrates River, simply because, according to the scripture, there are four demonic angels right now bound in the great river Euphrates. One day, by command of an angel, they will be loosed and be used to kill one-third of the earth's population. In verse 16, we see a demon-led army. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. That's 200 million. And I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire and of jacinths and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed, by fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. Remember now, the book of Revelation give us a lot of symbols. Now, what is the Bible talking about? Well, we see an army of horsemen. There were 200 million of them. No doubt they were demon-led. No doubt they were humans, a human army. And it is possible with the breastplates and heads of lions and fire and smoke and brimstone being issued out of their mouths, it could have been tanks of some kind. Or it could be that these horsemen were wearing masks and they had some sort of weapon. I don't know. But either way, student, what a terrible time to live. Aren't you glad you're saved? Aren't you glad that you're not going to be involved in this? This would be a terrible time to live. In verse 18, by these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. One third of the population is killed here. For their power is in their mouths, notice now, and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents and had heads, and with them they do hurt. You know what amazes me now? Even though one third of the population is killed, people still wouldn't repent. Look at these staggering verses in verse 20 and verse 21. And the rest of the men, which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hand, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. They still gave allegiance to these false prophets and false doctrines and idols that were inspired by Satan. They still wanted to worship worldly wealth and make it an idol. The Bible says in verse 21, neither repented they of their murders, they were filled with violence, nor of their sorceries, they were filled with astrology, occultism, narcotic euphoria, nor of their fornication, sexual immorality, nor of their thefts. They wouldn't repent of their dishonesty and cheatings. Chapter 10. Now there will be an interlude between the sixth and seventh trumpet judgment. We won't read about the seventh trumpet judgment until we get to Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15. All right, let's begin in verse 1, Revelation chapter 10. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. No doubt, class, there were seven more horrible judgments to come, and the details were hid from us. Now, there are three events that take place during the interlude, that take place before the last trumpet. Number one, the message of an angel of God. Secondly, the measuring of the temple of God. And number three, the ministry of the witnesses of God. Let's look at the message of the angel of God in verse 1. This angel is a powerful angel, such as Michael or Gabriel. The Bible says he came down from heaven. He was clothed with a cloud. In other words, he must have had a cloud-like glow around his frame. Could be that. And a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was, it were, the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. So this, you might call, was the sun face angel. Now, the angel has a book in his hand, a little scroll. Notice in verse 2, and he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot on the earth. This little book probably contained details of events that would take place. No doubt, as I said, seven more horrible judgments were to take place, because the Bible says in verse 3, seven thunders uttered their voices. And the thunder here represents judgment of God is coming. Verse 5, and the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swear by him, swear by Jesus, that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. All right, I see our tapes just about run out, so we'll continue our study on the reverse side of the cassette.